Some credit card holders in China have complained that banks are tightening the rules on credit card rewards and perks, as it has become harder to accumulate points and redeem the corresponding rewards. So, Huangshan, I'll go to you first. Please explain to me, how does this work? And is it true that people are simply getting less in return?
Okay, so let's take a look at what actually happened. So for those who were keen on using credit cards, they recently find out that the perks or rewards of credit card points offered by banks in China are shrinking to some extent. So in a credit card online forum, a cardholder complained that 10,000 points now can only exchange for a present worth at 20 yuan, which is a really small gift. And for the gifts valued at 300 yuan, usually require 200,000 points. However, it's not easy to accumulate this much points on a credit card. So China's Minsheng Bank readjusted the accumulation rules of credit card points from this September the 1st. According to its announcement, in a single calendar month, a cardholder can only accumulate the points no more than 2 times of the credit limit, and the excessive part will not be accumulated to the account. That sounds very complicated, but here I offer you a simpler example to let you know how much perk you can get every month. So for example, if your credit card have a quota of 10,000 yuan, then the maximum accumulated scores in a month can only be 20,000 points. So if the cardholder already has, for example, 5,000 points in a calendar month, and then he spent 60,000 yuan on his or her birthday. We know that usually on your birthday, you can get 3 times of the points accumulated to your card. Then we follow this math problem, and you will get this as like 23,000 points. However, because there is a highest amount of points you can get for every month, then under this new rule, you can only get 20,000 points, and then the rest 3,000 points will become invalid.
Okay, so I've wasted 3,000 points when I've done so much calculation, spent money, and want to accumulate points, I suppose. And well, this is the thing. Like, I've talked to a few friends who have credit cards here in China, and, well, there are some people, a couple of them, that I think are quite representative of users, that they are not particularly in touch with what's going on. Because it's hard to...
It's hard to understand.
Yeah, and Huangshan tried to you explain to us, but it's just quite difficult to really map out what's going on. Mm. And there are other people, which I think are possibly a fraction of the users, that are really doing the math and reading the fine print and trying to accumulate more points so they can get more rewards and perks out of it. But the thing is, after my little survey, I found out that in the past, with the same number of points, maybe you could have redeemed an ugly backpack.
Ugly?
Who would buy a backpack that looks like that would be my question. But now, instead, you can get a bull. A boring looking bull.
Yeah. Oh, wow,
and I wonder who would want to buy that as well. So that's just a little side story there. Tony, you're from the United States, a country known for credit card usage, amongst many other things. What do you think about this the scheme of exchanging rewards and possibly not so good rewards and perks?
Well, I heard that some points will be invalid after a certain amount of time, and I think that that would be a bit frustrating as a credit card user because, well, in the States, if you make a purchase, they match your money, the amount that you spend to points. For example, in the States, 1 point equals it's a 1 cent conversion. So if some of your money or points become invalid, I could imagine how a lot of people would be really upset because it's just like you just wasted your money. So in the States, it's still really, it's the thing. You get a lot of mailers in the mail about credit cards and some of the rewards. to be honest, I wasn't really clear on the rewards because, yeah, I think initially for most people it's a bit confusing. But according to Investopedia, most credit cards rewards offer many things. A sign-on bonus of about $50,000 to $80,000 just for signing up. And that's worth about $625 to about $1,000, depending on, you know, where you travel and if you redeem it through an appropriate travel portal. And these are going through different cards like Chase, American Express, Chase Inc. Business. And now, mind you, you have to qualify to, you know, to get one of these cards, depending on your FICO score. For example, like American Express, only some Americans are allowed to have this, you know, and some others who, if you're younger and you haven't built up much credit, then you aren't, it's not available for you. And the incentives are pretty vast, and apparently you can get a lot of luxurious travel benefits. Some cards are offering $300 air travel credit. Some are offering $200 Uber credits, complimentary access to those airport lounges. For those who are not aware, some of these networks, you can go in and you can sit down in a business lounge and use the Wi-Fi, and it's really nice. You have 5x points on airfare, so, and hotel reservations. So if you were to buy rent a room for about $100, you would get 5x that amount for your rewards, your points. So there's different incentives for different cards, and they offer, and these incentives just keep going and going. So there's a lot of things that you can get from these types of cards. So on my end, on a personal note, I have a lot of, you know, former colleagues, and my mother actually uses it a lot. And so it's still really popular in the U.S. And I think it has a lot to do with the amount of amenities and services that they offer.
Mm-hmm. Well, here I think there's one catch, because when you say perks, what's the other thing? Amenities and great offers.
Yeah.
But hold on. Everything comes with a price. Mm. In the world of grown-ups, I think we've realized that there is no free lunch. When you're a baby, mom and dad provides you with that free lunch, and you don't necessarily need to pay back. Maybe with good behavior, but they won't do anything bad to you even if you don't behave like the top quality baby. But when it comes to credit cards, often there is a huge fee of an annual fee that you need to pay. Mm. So you need to pay to hold that card, and you need to spend to get the amenities, to get all the perks. So this is like a huge trap, actually. How come nobody told me that? So it's not like it's just it comes for free that you're sitting in a 5-star first class business class lounge before you fly. It's not like you just get $300 from Uber so you can get free lifts. It's not like that. You need to spend a lot to qualify. That's the secret of credit cards.
Yeah,
a lot of the annual fees will run you, and this is according to Forbes magazine, they'll run you from anywhere from $450 to about $700 per year. And I think in renminbi, that's around 2,100 or
Chinese yuan?
I'm sorry, 21,000. Mm. No, 700. I'm sorry.
Once again, it's proven on Roundtable that none of us can do math. but you get the number.
But yeah, but
4,200.
Yeah, it's something that you have to pay, and it, depending on, you know, the card arrangement. So different cards offer different incentives. Sometimes that money comes out of, you know, the credit that you have, and sometimes you have to pay that up front. So I think it really depends on your FICO score.
Okay, so the FICO score for people who don't live in the U.S., what would that be?
Well, that's a really good question, I think.
It's like a credit score that looks at it's more like your debt history as opposed to your wealth history.
Your assets, right.
Yeah.
And so it's, and your payment history. So if you, in the States, if you pay everything on time, then your FICO score would be higher. And of course, your assets, and, you know, they factor all of that in, and then they give you a number. And if it's within a certain range, then you qualify for certain cards.
Mm.
So a lot of young people. people who haven't built up this credit, it's a bit difficult to qualify for a lot of these rewards.
Okay. Well, now we have a basic understanding of how credit cards work in the world, and especially in the U.S. Mm. And if we turn back here in China to what's going on now, Huangshan, what are the happenings, or what are the changes to this redeeming of points and perks that we get?
Yeah, as I already mentioned about, it's getting harder to accumulate more points. And also, now many banks in China are cutting the number of merchants that can offer you points when you make some consumption in their stores. And also, now we have many co-branded cards. For example, I have ICBC card co-branded with the China airline, the Air of China. Mm. But now many co-branded airline credit cards, they can no longer receive points in home appliances and jewelry shops. And also one point I think people are really upset about is how to use the points to redeem for a free ticket, a flight ticket. Mm-hmm. I think this is a function that most credit card holders use in the past. But now there are more limitations and regulations, so you really can't enjoy a free ticket by using your points. I think that's make many people quite upset. And because according to Minsheng Bank's announcement, that since this September the 1st, the policy on the airline mileage exchange has also been implemented in line with the new points redemption rules, and only the customer level permanent valid convertible points can participate in the miles conversion activities. This means your points you receive during some lucky draws or some promotion activities, you can use this part of the points to exchange for a free flight ticket. And also another bank said every year, each cardholder can exchange up to 50,000 miles per calendar year. But we need to pay attention to that. It's not every cardholder can get up to 50,000, only those high-end cards, such as World Card, Infinite Card, and Business Platinum cards, you can exchange for 50,000 miles. For those average card holders, you can only exchange miles up to 30,000 miles per year.
Interesting. So, what is the reason behind this happening?
Actually, you already reviewed the reason.
I have?
Yeah.
Please remind me what it is then.
Because you know, the perks of credit card points is not given by the bank free of charge. You need to pay annual fees. And many people are saying the development of credit cards in China, it seems not like America, because many people say China skipped the stage of credit card and directly go to the mobile payment. So now the banks, if they want to attract card holders, they need to offer them some preferential policies. They can't charge a large amount of fees, service fees, that no one wants to apply for a credit card. So sometimes people can enjoy a free service fee, and sometimes the bank give you a policy like, oh, if you swipe a card for 5 times every month, then you can enjoy a free annual fee. So if they can't make any revenues from the credit card business, how can they provide you the benefits or rewards? And also now in some banks, and they offer you really attractive benefits, such as an infinite card, and they can offer you 365 cups of Starbucks coffee coupons each year. That's good if you are a coffee lover or you are Starbucks fans, but how much annual fee you need to pay is like 20,000 yuan.
20,000 yuan.
So there's a cash there. So the more annual fee you pay, maybe you can get better benefits, perks, or rewards. Yeah, I think the merchant's always smarter than the customers.
Yeah, but 20,000 yuan for using a card? Who would do that? Even the rich people.
Starbucks coupons. 365. If we can't make a calculation, like each cup of coffee worth at 30 yuan, in total, that might be over 10,000 yuan. So it's like your annual fee is just about 10,000 yuan. But you must be a coffee lover.
Well, that's a huge prerequisite.
Well, yeah. I mean, if 20,000 per year and these announcements where the bank is cutting back on some of the incentives, I can totally understand how people would be very frustrated about that. And I think at this point, I think perhaps a lot of people, it kind of discourages people from using credit cards in the first place. And I think that credit cards want you to try to make as many purchases as possible. That way they can collect a little bit of interest. So there's a relationship where they're trying to, you know, generate as much that they can from their customers. But when they cut back on some of these incentives, I think it's a bit counterproductive.
I think this is really something that that just never really sticked, I think, with Chinese users. Because with credit cards, I think we just revealed one secret. That is, you need to pay a certain amount of money. It's not like it's just free goods showered at you. It's never like that. And another thing is, what's behind this credit card... this concept is basically you sign now and you pay later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that is not necessarily something that's in line with the traditional kind of Chinese spending habit or our philosophy. Because for traditional conservative spenders like myself, and I hate to take on debt.
Right.
Like ever. Like even when somebody's super nice to me and got me coffee this morning, I would be thinking, oh, that nice person, I need to get her tea or something back, and just to show goodwill. And when it comes to spending, yeah, this kind of concept, I know that there are, you know, credit card users here in China, so some people have embraced this. And if we go further, people would take out a mortgage so they can buy a house now, enjoy it now, and finish payment 30 years later or something like that. But I'd like to know your thoughts on this, Tony.
I don't have anything positive to say about it, unfortunately. I'm from the U.S. where we have a longer history of credit card usage, and I've just seen so many people where the credit cards have, in a way, ruined their lives because it gets them at a really young age when they're not familiar with, you know, the contractual terms of, you know, using credit cards. And yeah, they're in a mountain of debt, and it's really tough. Once you get into debt with credit cards because of interest rates, it's really hard to get out, and you could be spending a good portion of your life, sometimes 40, 50 years even, because in addition to credit card debt, you have other things that you pay for, like you mentioned, like a mortgage and house, and in the U.S., student loans. So it's really tough to get out of debt, especially with credit cards, because they tend to have the highest interest rates, you know, close to 20% and with some cards. So it's, for me, it's a bit of a, you know, it's a warning. And I just try to, you know, I think people should definitely look at read the contract, read the fine line, and try to enjoy the rewards, but just make sure that you're careful and you pay back everything when you're supposed to.
For me, I used to be a frequent user of credit cards because I think it's really convenient to use credit cards sometimes, especially you traveled or studied abroad, because you don't need to bring the cash with you and exchange for a different currency.
Right.
Because most credit cards are the multi-currency one. So you can just bring a card with you that you can shop at anywhere. And also, yeah. And also, sometimes when you are really poor in 1 month, you need to tighten your belt. So credit cards are very helpful. Then you can pay next week. But yeah. I think the reason why it's challenged nowadays is all disadvantages can be fulfilled in mobile payments.
Tell me more about that.
For example, if you want to purchase something and which not in your savings, you can use Ant Credit Pay by Alipay. So you don't actually need a credit card. And now many shops in foreign countries, they allow you to use Alipay or WeChat Pay or other mobile payment method. Also, they will give you a discount because like this mobile payments is still in promotion stage. And so now you think, oh, maybe a credit card is not that necessary.
Maybe in China, the credit card is just phasing out. It's almost like a really unpopular guest or just...
Well, we don't have WePay. WePay is amazing. That's one of the things I love when I came here, just being able to pay for everything, like not bring my wallet. And it's just, it's definitely like when I went back home to the US and I was just like, oh, I guess I can pay for this. Oh no, wait a minute. I have to pull out my money and then I had to go find an ATM. And apparently there's Apple Pay, but I feel like not a lot of people are really on that yet. So it's just, yeah, it's WePay is amazing.
So WePay is the WeChat wallet kind of function on WeChat. And the really genius thing about Tencent, the mother company behind all of this, is that WeChat is the top messaging tool that most Chinese people use. And then if you just slap the wallet on top of that, then you already have a fixed user.
Yeah.
Population. That is huge. So again, this is one of the, this should go into the case study of business schools, I think. Yeah. And now we see that these mobile payment platforms, they've been very shrewd in sort of sneakingly taking up the business of traditional banks in many ways, because they're essentially giving you credit too. And then they're building up their own credit score on their own platform, just like what Alipay has done. And we've discussed this on a previous show not a long time ago. So this is really interesting. I just feel that the banks must be pretty worried right now. But what they've done is, instead of luring customers in with maybe more generous rewards or some sort of incentive so people can use credit cards or whatever traditional banking service that is still there, but they're cutting down on what's given to customers, if I can interpret it this way. So a little bit of crystal balling from you guys, please. What do you think credit cards would do in China in the future? I mean, do you see there to be a future for it?
Well, I definitely think banks are always going to be there. And I just feel that perhaps since WePay or Tencent is generating a lot of activity in this area, perhaps some of the banks will, well, probably lease their services or try to have some type of partnership, because it seems that a lot of people are seem to be going this direction. We're in the tech age and everyone is using the internet for convenience. So I think, you know, it's a lot better to pay online or to use mobile pay as opposed to, you know, maybe going to a bank, and it's just a lot easier. So I think that perhaps there's going to be a partnership with, you know, a lot of the banks and with Tencent perhaps.
For me, I think maybe the banks should focus on those outbound travelers, because now when you want to travel abroad, there's still, I think credit card is still the most useful way of payment, because not many shops in foreign countries are accepting mobile payment, and maybe they can tap on this area to trying to attract more users of credit card, and also maybe of transferring money. I think credit card is still the best tool.
Transfer money?
Yeah, from maybe foreign country to China and China to foreign countries.
Oh, that is interesting. And I've only recently found out that on the mobile payment,
they have that function too.
Yes,
they
Alipay.
Are doing
wow.
that.
Alipay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can see that traditional banking and online mobile payment platforms, they are engaged in pretty fierce competition. There's only so many users. And now when you ask people to carry an extra card, plastic, that's increasingly hard. I think the big banks, you need to work a bit harder, I think, to get us through the door.
Agreed.
And wanting to carry a credit card. Maybe years later, it would be like, what's credit card? We'll be back after this break.